This is an ABC podcast.
On Monday, a police officer in Hong Kong shot an unarmed 21-year-old protester with live ammunition at point-blank range. The entire thing was caught on video.
Later that day, video emerged of a middle-aged man being doused in petrol and set alight after arguing with protesters.
These videos show a snapshot of how both police and protesters seem to be upping the ante in this ongoing face-off. I'm Ruby Jones.
And I'm Chris Dangate. And today on The Signal, there's been a significant escalation in tension and violence in Hong Kong this week. But the student protesters remain resolute. So what's China's new tactic in bringing all of this to an end?
So this recent spike in violence in Hong Kong started on Friday after a 22-year-old uni student died.
Yeah, he fell from a car park roof after running away from police the previous Sunday, and it's being called the first official death of a protester in actions linked to police.
The death of the student, surnamed Chow, did affect people, of course, because death does create a different dynamic. And we've heard in public calls for quote-unquote revenge.
Gordon Chang is an Asia analyst and author of The Coming Collapse of China.
Clearly, before then, protesters really were looking to fight the police because there have been allegations that three protesters on August 21st were beaten to death in the Prince Edward Mass Transit Railway Station. And since that time, protesters have just taken a very different attitude towards the police. The police also have been extremely brutal. And so this has become a fight on both sides. And the descent into violence has been marked, especially since the end of August. But of course, with what is called the first death of a protester in an action linked to the police, clearly the thing's gotten out of control. We don't know if that student was actually a protester, but he was running away from tear gas. And so therefore, his cause has been taken up by everyone.
Although we feel sad, we need to continue our movement. So we need to gather together and hear and voice out something to the government and to the police force.
So this past weekend has been one of disturbances across the territory. Especially on Monday, a Hong Kong traffic policeman shot an unarmed student protester in the torso. There was a protester dressed in black, like many of the protesters are. Face was covered. He's approaching a Hong Kong police officer in a wide open area. The protester didn't have anything in his hands, obviously was unarmed, did not pose a risk to or a threat to the safety of the officer. The officer was in a wide open area, could easily have retreated, but didn't, took out his gun, shot the protester at very close range. And clearly this was an unjustified use of force.
And that shooting isn't the only extreme thing that happened on Monday.
Also, there was an argument between people in Hong Kong, and one of the people who was expressing pro-Beijing statements was doused with some sort of liquid and set on fire. He also was admitted to hospital in critical condition and remains that way with burns on 28% of his body. This could very well have been staged, and indeed, we don't even, you know, it's not entirely beyond China's communists to have sacrificed one of their own, perhaps without his knowledge that this was going to happen. I'm not saying that's what occurred, but that's a possibility. And until we know more about the perpetrator, I don't think we can say that this has been a Hong Kong protester who did this.
So no one's been apprehended over that attack yet, and there's also reports of protesters facing off with police at universities, throwing petrol bombs, and police using tear gas and pepper spray and aiming their guns at people.
Yeah, and then there's this footage of a police officer on a motorbike driving into a crowd of protesters several times, ramming some of them before taking off.
So later on Monday, Hong Kong's leader Carrie Lam gave this press conference in which she condemned the protesters and called them the enemy of the people.
Finally, I want to appeal to everyone in Hong Kong to stay calm and refrain from taking part in any unlawful activities.
This is not language that Hong Kong leaders would use. This is a language that the Communist Party uses. And matter of fact, they've used it routinely in recent years. And of course, this goes back to the era of Mao Zedong, the founder of the People's Republic of China, and was widely heard during the Cultural Revolution, which started in the mid-1960s. The thing here is that Carrie Lam is using Chinese language, and this comes after she had two crucial meetings at the beginning of this month. She had a meeting on November 4th with Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler in Shanghai, and she also had a meeting a day or two later with Hong Zheng, who is the member of the Politburo Standing Committee, the portfolio for Hong Kong. So this is essentially Carrie Lam getting her orders. And given the even more aggressive tactics of the police since those two meetings, we can assume that she got her orders from the top of the Chinese leadership to move aggressively against Hong Kong people.
So essentially, Beijing is forcing Carrie Lam to take a harder line.
I think so, because this doesn't seem like the Carrie Lam who was elected chief executive. This is mirrors Beijing's position on this. And as we've seen the events the last two or three days, we've also heard state media in China step up their attacks on protesters. So this does seem to be coordinated.
Right, so according to Gordon, Carrie Lam has got her orders from Beijing and she's following through.
Yeah, and Gordon thinks that part of that plan involves a kind of unofficial restructure of the Hong Kong police.
Yeah, there are a number of videos which show that people from the mainland are now operating on the streets of Hong Kong in the uniforms of the Hong Kong police. I think, one of the more telling videos, there's a Hong Kong riot policeman who is obviously from Hong Kong because he's speaking colloquial Cantonese. And then he turns around to a couple of other riot officers and starts talking to them in Mandarin. Remember, Hong Kong is a Cantonese-speaking city, and the first Hong Kong riot officer calls them comrade. Now, two Hong Kong policemen would not use that term when addressing each other. There's other videos. Another one of them is there's a line of Hong Kong policemen who absolutely refuse to show their Hong Kong police identity cards and who apparently don't speak Cantonese because there's a pro-democracy figure. I think he's in the Legislative Council, I forget, talking to them, and they just impassive as if they don't understand. So there is growing evidence that there are either Hong Kong Chinese troops or Chinese police who are now wearing Hong Kong police uniforms. And the one thing that has always struck me is that once we started to see these videos, that coincided with a breakdown in discipline in the Hong Kong police. If we go back to a year, 2 years ago, the Hong Kong police were recognized as the most professional and disciplined force of its kind in Asia. And now they've just completely broke ranks. There's very little discipline. They're acting savagely. This is not the Hong Kong police force of a year ago. And we've got to ask, why has this occurred? And especially since this change in behavior does coincide with these videos of obviously Chinese personnel in the Hong Kong police, we can guess that maybe this is very much what Beijing wanted.
Okay, so if he's right, that's an interesting and pretty crafty tactic to infiltrate the Hong Kong police. And Gordon reckons it shows China is realizing it needs to be more and more covert in dealing with Hong Kong.
This is not 1989, like Tiananmen Square, where you had these big, broad boulevards, low buildings on each side. Chinese armor, tanks and armored personnel carriers just swept through from the western approaches of Beijing into Tiananmen Square, and they killed almost at will. Hong Kong is very different. It's defender's territory. It's got narrow streets and alleys, got a lot of tall buildings. Every apartment building is a fort for the hostels, which means that these kids can go to these apartment buildings, third or fourth floor, ring down explosives or petrol bombs on concentration of Chinese troops, and then just completely disappear. And I don't think Beijing has an answer militarily for that. And certainly politically, this would be extremely disadvantageous for China because countries would start to impose sanctions. They don't want an open display of raw Chinese power on Hong Kong streets, which I think would enrage many people across Hong Kong society.
That is The Signal for today. And if you'd like to get in touch, our email is thesignal@abc.net.au.
And if you like, you can give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps other people find us.
And we'll be back in your feed tomorrow.
See you later.
Bye.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.